episode 435 of the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about what is the worst SummerSlam main event of all time. Get your thinking caps on. PNP Nation, Wrench Mob, are you ready? 435. Let's have some fun. Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, let's do this. Without further ado, PNP Nation, Wrench Mob, let's go.
Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the pancakes. It's a mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip, but he really couldn't devour him. And from that point, then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change lanes. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go. Turn it up.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show, episode 435. It's been a pretty hectic past 30 minutes or so, man. Lots of stuff going on, so we are going to make it happen. All right, so what's going on, everybody? Hold on. It's been crazy. I'm trying to do some scheduling stuff. What's up, everybody? I just had Eric Bischoff on the Sports Key to my Sports Key to Unscripted show. It became so popular that he said that he'll be able, he said he can come on next week. So already had somebody scheduled for next week, so I'm gonna have to pull a two-a-day most likely next week if he's available. So yes, it's a good thing. It's crazy, but it's a good crazy. And plus, again, this is I was sharing with Eric Bischoff before we went live that this is very cathartic. So because on Friday I have to do an oral defense for my dissertation. So it is the last stop of me becoming a doctor. So yes. So talking wrestling and talking with Eric Bischoff definitely is fun as always. So how are you, PNP Nation? How's everything going? How's the weather? We are going to talk about the worst SummerSlam main events, in your opinion, of all time. So, again, like we've been doing, freestyling, y'all. We're just gonna have some fun, man. That's gonna be the PNP format for the foreseeable future. Of course, those who have Patreon, those who are Patreon members, they have first dibs on like Flavor of the Weeks and things like that. And also we will be bringing people on as co-hosts too, with 6 month patrons. So, if you're a 6 month patron, let me know. And you're looking at this, shoot me an email, cravewrestling@gmail.com, or actually it'd probably be better if you just DM me on Instagram, probably that'd probably be the best. And say you're a 6 month patron and let me know, show me some proof, and we'll get you on as a co-host. So let me know. All right. So look, we got a lot of people on tonight. We got some fun. We got Alfred, we got Josh, we got Tyler. We have, yeah, we got a lot of people here on the PNP Nation. Looks like a lot of mine. What's up? I was actually texting. So, like I said, the Eric Bischoff interview was so, it was so popular. It was like up to, there was like 90, over 90 people on live at once. And so that was so popular that, I do it for you. So I have to cut those interviews off to make sure that I'm on PNP hanging out with y'all. So I had to cut the interview short. And plus, Eric, was flexible and so gracious enough to do the interview, and he had to get up at 4:30 in the morning. So he had to go, I had to go. And so, there was some issues were going live at first, and then he left and I called him, came back, and we were able to do a really good live stream. And then, and so there was so many unanswered questions from the audience, I had to cut it short to make sure I'm here to hang out with y'all. So, yeah, man. So I was texting. So the admins at Sports Kita and Eric, and I'm playing the middleman and try to get something scheduled for next week, because I have interviews locked in until the end of August. as far as just my unscripted show on Tuesday nights at 11. So he said he can come back next week to do a part two. I already have something scheduled. I have a big name scheduled for next week. So we're trying to see if we can do, you know, some two-a-days. So it's cool. I mean, I get paid, you know, I'll just get paid more. So it's you know, I'll make it work. My as of Friday, my doctoral journey, as far as me prepping for anything to be done, I'll have more free time on my hands after next Friday. Although I'll still, by day I'm a mental health specialist, by night I'm a journalist, so I'll still be busy, super busy, but I'll have a lot more time on my hands as far as being flexible with my schedule, so I can be flexible next week. This week, definitely not. I'm preparing and PowerPoint slides together and preparing for my oral presentation. So I definitely am not flexible this week, but next week I'm more flexible. So just stay tuned. Follow me at Chris Prolific, of course, and stay tuned as far as the plan to have perhaps two big interviews. Eric Bischoff said he can come back next week, so we may do that again. So just stay tuned. So a lot going on, but in a good way, though. So appreciate you asking, Marisa. Marisa, yes, Marisa. All right, so Marissa's asking what I think of Extreme Rules on Sunday. That was a week. That was last Sunday. That was two Sundays ago, right? Yeah, two Sundays ago. It was all right. I mean, I talked about it last week a little bit. It was all right. Some highs, some lows. I don't know about the Swamp match. I mean, it just didn't make any sense to me. So some parts were okay. You know, I appreciate the fact that they're doing those matches, though. I mean, to be honest with you, I like the fact that they're doing matches outside of the ring. So I will say that I do like the drama. I liked more of the cinematic matches. I think those are really important for these days. So I'm not too critical of it based on those parameters. So it was hit and miss to me. But again, I like the fact that they're doing cinematic matches. What other I really liked Taker AJ. That was the best cinematic match of the year. I mean, they did a fantastic job there. So I don't know if I'm missing one. Cena and Bray. I'm sure I'm missing another WWE cinematic match. I'm sure I'm missing something. You guys will tell me in the chat. IG is at Chris Prolific. Everything across the board is at Chris Prolific. Everything across the board, at Chris Prolific everywhere and everywhere. So right there. Across the board, IG, Twitter, at Chris Prolific. All right. What else we got? PMP Nation. Yes, absolutely, Josh. I will give you a shout out because your birthday is on Sunday. Happy birthday, Josh. Everybody wish Josh a happy birthday. Give him a shout out. You think you have the same shirt? I don't even know where I got this shirt from. I love V-necks. So yeah, I'm a big fan of V-necks. And so I buy different color V-neck shirts. V-necks and Chucks, like, you got me. I'm a V-neck and Chuck guy. I like big, darker. I mean, it depends. I'm not tripping about the V-neck, but the make has to be pretty nice, though. I've got some V-necks that are just kind of like a plain type of feel to it. The shirt quality has to be nice too. But yeah, I'm a fan of V-necks and Chucks. I love V-necks and Chucks and joggers. And so, yeah, I don't even remember. I've had this shirt for a long time. I don't even remember when I got it. I don't know where I got it or when I got it. I've had this shirt for probably, I don't know, 8 years, maybe 10. I don't know. It's been a long time. 10 years. Say I had it 7 years, it would probably be like I used to be a manager at a retail store in a mall. And I was everything Aeropostale style for a while. And then I became, I think this is Old Navy, actually. It's probably Old Navy, because there was a long period of time for a number of years that Old Navy was my favorite store to shop. I like most of my stuff was Old Navy. Probably about 15 years ago, I'll say I was like super Aeropostale style guy. I'll say probably around 2002 or so, I was like Aeropostale style everything. 2003, and now it became like I would do like Aeropostale style and some Old Navy, and then I gravitated to like more Old Navy than anything. And I'm a husband with three kids now. I'll hop at Walmart in a heartbeat. I'm telling you, I will hop at Walmart in a heartbeat. And there will be certain times I'll go to Target or, I'll buy like Ohio State shirts all the time from like Kroger or something like that. But yeah, that's typically if it's a shirt, if this shirt is 8 to 12 years old, it's either from Old Navy or Aeropostale. Okay, we'll get to interesting, Kyle. He says he has to get up at 4:30 in the morning. So interesting. What else we got? It'll be 40, Josh. Nice. The big 40. Good stuff. Good stuff, man. Money in the Bank. Yeah, that was a cinematic match to an extent. Yeah, I think that was a miss. That was more of a miss than a hit, for sure, to me, at least. What else we got, PNP Nation? We just having fun tonight, y'all. We just, you know, hashtag Ask Chris. Fucking, there's a lot of comments coming in. If I pick something up, and we'll talk about it, man. This is the PNP lounge. that's what it is. Like for the foreseeable future, my interviews are the first 30 minutes, and this is the PNP lounge, man. We're just having some fun. I'm gonna let y'all pick the headlines. I'm gonna let y'all pick the flavor of the weeks. Sometimes the Flavor of the Weeks. This week, the Flavor of the Week is the worst SummerSlam main event. I'm going to let y'all pick the headlines. I'm going to let y'all, ask Chris questions. All that good stuff. My man is in the building, Phil Fox. How are you tonight, sir? I'll actually be on his podcast talking about some theology and apologetics. Y'all know I'm not a different Chris tonight as a pro wrestling journalist than I am as a theologian and apologist. I love Jesus, and I am not ashamed to say it one bit. So I would be on his podcast. He has an apologetics podcast called more theology. He goes live stream every Sunday. So Drops of Hope Ministries, go and check him out. My guy Phil Fox, I will be on his podcast a week from Sunday talking about the prosperity gospel movement, the errors of it. So go check that out. We'll talk about the bar fight, Robbie. Remind me of Raw and SmackDown. remind me. What's up, Micah? Just real quick. Okay, so this is what I've heard, Micah. Welcome, Micah, to the show. So check this out. I think that, it should be Drew. I mean, like, Drew should be, okay, so It's kind of difficult because I wrote a whole article about this. I think it should have been Bobby Lashley. I think it should have been Bobby Lashley and Drew. Bobby Lashley should be the champ. There should be a heel champ. Randy Orton is a fantastic. He's the best heel on in WWE right now. But I think they should give it to Lashley just because he right now more than anything with his dominant character. I think this is where you give him the opportunity. Orton's had it, you know, over a dozen times. So give it to Lashley. And then Drew gets it back. And then Brock beats Drew. And then Keith Lee wins the Royal Rumble. And then Keith Lee and Brock at Mania. That's my fantasy booking, which can come true. It definitely can come true. It's definitely probable. Very probable. So, yeah, but I think for some reason I heard, and I hope that this is not true. I hope they changed their mind really quick. I'm not happy about this at all. I heard Orton's going to win at SummerSlam, and then that's going to ride out until Mania. Then we're going to get Orton versus Edge at Mania for the title. Oh, I do not want to see that. Like, understand me when I say this. I do not want to see Edge versus Randy Orton for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania. I don't want to see it. And it just, first of all, this one, the first one this year, it was too long. It wasn't bad. It was just too long. It was just way too long. And to see a second year of Edge versus Orton and now for the title, no thanks. No thanks. I'm not interested whatsoever in that. If they do Edge Orton 2, put a stip to it. I know the first was Last Man Standing, but I mean, I guess, you know, it was Edge's first time back. So doing a stip like that, you know, is cool. It kind of protects them a bit from just doing a regular clinic wrestling match. So I get it in that regard. But I based on what we saw this year, I'm just not interested in Edge versus Orton 2, and I'm definitely not interested in Edge versus Orton 2 for the title. So my hope is that Drew keeps it, but I've got a really bad feeling that Orton's going to take it. Micah agrees. Aaron agrees. Marissa agrees. Yeah, we are all in the same boat. Awful idea. Alonzo says we are all in the same boat. That's Edge versus Orton 2 for the title is boo boo. That's hashtag boo boo. I think I started that a week or two ago, didn't I? Boo boo. Hashtag boo boo. Great questions, guys. Micah agrees on Bobby Lashley. Aaron, let's talk, man. Let's talk. Private message me, man. Let's do it. Oh yes, Phil. It's this Sunday, this coming Sunday, August 4th, I think. August 2nd. Yeah, I think it's 2nd. Yeah. This Sunday. This coming Sunday. All right. This Sunday. Let's see. Alonzo's asking. Did I hear about Vince wanting SummerSlam to be at a special location, like outdoors on a beach or at a boat? I heard. Yeah, well, yeah, he's wanted to be in a setting that will allow more people. You know, he was fighting with Boston for a while, you know, but I mean, it is what it is, man. I mean, listen. if he has it in a big spot, here's the thing. Guess what I'm about to say. Now, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I mean, there's some things I'm willing to give more time to, conflation of numbers. I'm willing to give more time to that. Whatever. Be responsible. That's my general thing about just with the pandemic. Just be responsible. Wash your hands. Guess what? Boom. Sanitizer. Sanitize your hands. Make sure you're clean. Get yourself together. Wear a mask. Don't you be coughing, or, you know, if you got a cough, if you got a hiccup, if you throw a little tingly, stay at home. All right, stay at home. So, do that. Okay. Help us out. Help us out and do that for us. All right. So here's the thing with that, I'm going to add to that. And I'm going to say, if Vince McMahon decides to have a show at a large venue, guess who the responsibility is to come or not come? You, the fan. Me, the fan. Nobody's forced you to come. If you want to come, you know the chances. But be responsible. Wear a mask if that's something that you need to do. Whatever. But, I mean, if he wants to have it in a bigger arena or somewhere else, do it. Do it. What's the Starsky and Hutch? Do it. Do it. So, That's my take on it, man. He's not forcing anybody to come, you know, so do it. Kyle's asking, who would I put in the main event scene and who would I take out right now? That's a really good question, Kyle. I appreciate that question. Who would I put in the main event scene right now? I imagine you're speaking WWE. I'm just going to assume that you're speaking WWE. I can do AEW too, though. Let's start WWE. I would put Naomi in the main event scene, women's. I also wrote a piece about having Bianca Belair versus Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania. So I think she should be climbing up to the main event scene. Bianca Belair is a main eventer, period. She has everything. Like, she has the charisma. She has the mic work. She has the athleticism. She has an it factor. I have no idea why they're sleeping on her. Maybe to set her up in a better time to become a main eventer, perhaps, but that better be the case. Because Bianca Belair is a star. She's an absolute star. So Bianca Belair, Naomi. On the men's side, Bobby Lashley. I mean, I think he should be a main eventer. They dabbled with it a little bit with him and Drew, but now he's playing second fiddle. He's the CEO of the Hurt Business, but for some reason, he's the only one in the Hurt Business without a championship. You know, even though MVP is unofficially champ, he's the one that's holding the champ. Shelton Benjamin's 24/7 champ. So, CEO of the Hurt Business, but he's the one. Not okay. Yeah, okay. Weird. So, Bobby Lashley should be in the main event scene right now. If it was during WrestleMania season, if this was about 4 months ago, I would say Aleister Black. I actually wrote a piece. Saying that Aleister Black should have won the Royal Rumble before, Drew did. So, if this was the beginning of the year, right before Mania season, about 4 months ago, 5 months ago, I would say Aleister Black. Now, not so much. Out of the main event scene, Seth Rollins. I mean, I'm sorry, man. I guess he's still upper mid card, but he was main event for a little bit, you know, with Drew and things like that. He goes in and out of the main event. Dolph Ziggler, I mean, one of the most gifted athletes in all of professional wrestling, hands down, without a question. But Dolph Ziggler should not be in the main event. I mean, no way, Jose. Absolutely not. AEW, as far as females are concerned, I like Big Swole, but I like her. I like her. Rivalry with Britt Baker. I think that's funny. Although Britt Baker's not wrestling, so it's kind of a non-wrestling rivalry. But I'm still intrigued on it. It's pretty funny. Britt Baker is hilarious. I think she's doing a really good job as a heel right now. I like Big Swole up there in the main event scene. What other? Because I like Hikaru Shida. I like her a lot, but just no charisma. Just charisma. I mean, it's a charisma thing to me. Like it's charisma, man. Yeah, that's what it's all about to me. And so, to honestly, it's just kind of like, you know, athleticism wise, absolutely. Charisma wise, negative. So yeah, not very happy about that. Let me see what else. Who else in the woman's scene? Big Swole. She's really the only one that really sticks out to me right now. It's someone who's not in the main event scene. As far as the who should go out of the main event scene for the females, for the women's stars. I don't know. I mean, it's really a toss up with who really is and isn't a main event. I mean, Penelope Ford dabbed in there a little bit. Now, is she? Isn't she? It's just kind of Nyla Rose is pretty much a standstill as being in the scene there. Who else? So Big Swell would be my choice. As far as the guys who should be in, I would say Lance Archer. Absolutely Lance Archer. 100% Lance Archer. Unquestionably Lance Archer. Like I would be totally fine if he was AEW champion right now. Like if he was feuding against Gian Moxley. That's Justin. Old Justin, man. We had a running joke for a while that every time we would say John Cena, it had to be like Gian Cena. It had to be that every time we said it. And that's the same thing's going on with, he has a way of pronouncing it's Gian. Gian Cena, Gian Moxley. So he has a really fun way of saying John for some reason. I'd be cool with Archer versus Moxley at a major pay-per-view. 100%. Archer's one of the hottest commodities right now in AEW. See, I'm willing to give Sean Spears a chance, but as a babyface, though, the Spears heel thing is a bust to me. It's a bust. Yeah, even with Tully, it's a bust. Someone who should not be I think they should have the FTW championship a deal. I think they should make it a thing. And it should have like kind of like hardcore rules. And I think that although I want Brian Cage to be a main eventer, and I would have been totally fine if he won the title, they've put him in a spot now that they automatically put him in that slot, that kind of secondary upper mid card slot when he lost to Moxley, Gian Moxley. I guess a constellation is FTW championship. I think that should be kind of a hardcore rules type of thing. And I would be cool with Darby Allin winning the title, winning the FTW championship. Darby Allin's you know, just ton of potential. I think his size hurts him, but ton of potential. Who else as far as who I would have in the main event? I think I'm pretty solid on that. Lance Archer. Yeah. I mean, that's really it that I can think of as far as main eventers right now. Because right now you've got I'll be cool with Adam Page going back to the main event scene as a babyface. It seems like Kenny Omega's about to turn heel. I'm totally fine with Omega versus Page if the purpose is to build Page up, though. Page needs the build up. He's still super over. He's to me, I'm a theme song guy. I'm a character guy. I'm old school. I'm a character guy, and I'm a promo guy, and I'm a theme song guy, and I'm a wardrobe guy. Those four things are four of the biggest things for me. Because it's a comic book. To me, wrestling is a comic book come to life, and that's what it should be. I mean, it's choreographed, so it should be a comic book come to life. So, yeah, I mean, those are four of the biggest factors. Of course, the in-ring work. I mean, if you're terrible in the ring, I mean, heels can get away with being worse in the ring than baby faces to me. Because I mean, you can have an Andre, Stud, Bundy, Earthquake type of deal, and then you have the baby face doing the bumping, all the bumping and the selling. So, and protecting the baby face in that sense. I mean, protecting the heel in that sense. And so, but nowadays, I mean, both need to know something, you know, at least something to woo the crowd. But yeah, I mean, Hangman Page, he's one of my favorite theme songs in all of pro wrestling right now. To me, it has a very cavalier, regal type of feel to it. It to me, when I think of theme songs, my litmus test of theme songs is can this person walk around? Can this person come out of the backstage onto WrestleMania and look at a capacity crowd, as Vince McMahon would say? And so can he look at a capacity crowd and everybody cheer the heck out of you or boo the heck out of you? And they're being ignited by your theme song. When you hear the guitar strumming, burr, 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 burr. What's that? I just gave you four chords and you know it's who? Hogan. When the glass shatters, it's who? Austin. When the gong hits, it's who? Taker. If you smell, The Rock. So the countdown, Jericho. So music has so much to play. So it's so important. Theme songs are so important to building a character. I mean, vitally important to building a character. To me, when I think of Adam Page, his music, it to me, it feels that he's coming to a WrestleMania stage and they do a panoramic view of all the crowd, just really in all of his entrance, like just really soaking it all in. So that's what I get from that. So those would be my choices. Great, great question. Good stuff. Good stuff. Shane is asking, I'm tired of WWE and same old storylines. Nia squares off against Shayna and security tries to hold him back. I'm sick of this. Shane is sick of this. Every time it starts to get good, WWE pulls his crap. Are you tired of those angles too? I'm not a fan of Nia Jackson's Shayna Baszler two heels. I think you have to differentiate the faces and heels. Cody Rhodes, I like Cody. I like Cody. But he, you know, he says something on Twitter or somewhere in an interview that he's not a face or a heel. I'm like, come on, stop it. Wrestling is choreographed, it's staged, so you gotta have you play on that stuff. Either you're a good guy or a bad guy. You know, like you can't put so much reality in wrestling. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me of putting reality in wrestling. The whole point of wrestling is to convince people that this is real or this is not staged or choreographed. Of course, the bumps are real. I get it all. I know I have a lot of friends in the wrestling business. It hurts. It's injuries. It's you know, not being able to move in the morning. I get it. The bumps are real. Everything about that is real. But you're going to have to convince us the punches and the kicks and the super kicks when you're doing that and hitting your leg. You're convincing at the end of the day, no matter how much realness you want to put into it, you have to convince a crowd. You have to suspend our disbelief. Period. Simple as that. You have to. Pro wrestling is about suspending disbelief. It is a comic book come to life. Period. And so whatever realness you want to add to it, which I think the more realness you add to it, the more people get injury prone. And I think you need to scale down on that. Create characters, create good guys, create bad guys, have awesome theme music, have nice wardrobes, have us get sucked into the character, not the wrestling so much, because we know that that's choreographed and we know that that's predetermined. We know that stuff. Like, get us soaked in to the characters, to the crowd. Like, the crowd wants, they're buying into the brand of the characters. Anybody can wrestle anybody good. The big thing is the characters. That's what we're buying into. And so be a good guy, be a bad guy. If the whole point, if pro wrestling is about paying it forward, you really, like, if your goal is to pay it forward and to build up a star, your aim should be the biggest, most lovable good guy or the most hated, menacing bad guy there is. Every single babyface and heel, every single competitor, that should be their goal. If your goal truly is to get yourself over and pay it forward to get somebody else over, that should be your aim. If I'm booked to be a babyface, I better be the most likable, lovable. I'm not talking about fluffy or lovable. I'm just talking about people love me. People love my brand as a good guy, as a babyface. Or I better be like, man, I'm thinking about how much I hated the fact that Lance Archer just desecrated John Moxley at the end of the show last night. I'm thinking about that 2 or 3 days later, you know, and I'm like, man, I can't wait to see AEW next week because, man, he's got something coming for him. Like, I can't stand the fact that he did that. He mangled him. I can't stand that. I can't stand Lance Archer. You know, like, that's how we're supposed to do it. That's why Archer's one of the best characters right now, because he's a heel. He's a bad guy. He doesn't want you to like him. Like, that's the point. Heels should never want people to like them. That's why I'm not a big fan of Adam Cole. Sorry, guys. I'm not a fan of Adam Cole. In the ring, good stuff. But character-wise, not a fan. Because his character is making people like him. And to me, that's not a good heel. It's just not. You're not a heel. You're messing up your baby faces that go against you. Because the point should be you should get heat. That's the point of heat. You should get heat, make people not like you, pass it over to the babyface because that makes them better. That's what happened with Roman Reigns. People didn't like Roman Reigns. People were saying so much things about Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns ended up going against some good heels, namely Corbin, namely Drew McIntyre, two people who could not stand at the time. Shane McMahon, a lot of people say his heel run wasn't that good, but there was a point in time that people couldn't stand Shane McMahon. So that helped Roman Reigns. So he went through a list of heels in that short time, and people started cheering Roman Reigns. And he didn't do anything different. There was nothing about Roman Reigns that was different. He had the same promo, same moves, same everything. And I am an advocate for Roman Reigns. Y'all watch the show every week. A lot of y'all do. Most of you do. PNP Nation. Y'all know for years, I have been one of the biggest Roman Reigns defenders, period. But it's funny because people started cheering him. Why? Because he started to go against heels. And that's what you want to do. That's how you move the needle when it comes to ratings. You got all these ratings issues, but you're not developing any characters. The in-ring work hasn't been terrible. It hasn't been terrible. I mean, I can give you a good match, but people aren't interested because they're not interested in the characters. That's what it's all about. So you kind of have to make that happen, man. Otherwise, people are going to be dropping like flies, man. Michelle said the Miz did a good job, and with that, I don't think he's a good wrestler. I think Miz is solid in the ring, but you are absolutely right. Miz did a fantastic job playing that heel role for sure. Absolutely. 100% agree with that. What else we got? Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely, Chad. That's the point. See, right here is the point. Even though I can't stand him, this bracket right here is exactly what it should be. Who's him? MJF. Even though I can't stand him, MJF theme song, he could get a crowd going. That's exactly what it should be. MJF is one of the best heels in all of wrestling right now. Simple as that. This comment right here is exactly what I'm talking about. That's what it should be. And like, Chad doesn't know MJF. I would put a wager on Chad does not know MJF personally to say, I can't stand him. Like, he doesn't know him. I don't even know if you ever met him. I would bet that you never met him. You could, but I'd bet you never met him. You don't know anything about MJF's personal life. Nothing. But you can't stand him. That's exactly what it should be. Even though I can't stand him, why can't you stand him? You don't even know him. You can't stand him because he makes himself can't standable. That's what he does. That's what NJF does, and he does a really good job at it. That's exactly what it should be. Exactly. Absolutely. See, the thing is with Aaron, and that's the reason why we're seeing record low ratings. And that's the thing. Here's the thing. It should be a bigger challenge. And I appreciate people like the Jerichos of this world, even the JBLs in this world, who, like, they've said before that they want to make people hate them when they are heels. And that is an even bigger challenge for everybody. It should be a bigger challenge for everybody. If you're booking me as a heel, I should be writing notes. I should be looking at old tape of really good heels. I should make it. It's easy for people. It's easy to make a crowd tick. It's easy. Like MJF, he's like, you know what? It's a challenge. People might like me because I'm this arrogant, cocky heel, which it's likable nowadays. But I want to make people hate me. And that's what he's done. He's done a very good job at it. Lance Archer again. People hate the guy because he's doing a really good job being a heel. And it's doable. We see it. It's doable. You know, and I think the big thing is a lot of people don't want to really step up to the challenge and say, you know what, if you are booking me as a heel, if that is my role, if you are indeed booking me as a heel, I'm going to go all out. I'm going to study being a heel. I'm going to study it. I'm going to make it in my fiber to for people to hate me. And that's the thing. Again, you don't even know MJF. You don't even know him, but you can't stand him. That's exactly the point. Paul, yep, Brock. You hear that in the beginning. You know it's Brock's theme song. Absolutely. Interesting. Interesting. Omega should have made the WWE jump. Should Omega have made the jump? I just don't know that they treat him fairly. But I would say that he was in a pretty hot spot, though. He was in New Japan, and he was a main event in New Japan when he left. So he was still in a very hot spot. So he could have been big. But I like Kenny Omega, but his character is not very strong, though. It's not very strong. I don't think it's strong enough to really carry a brand. What else we got? PNP Nation. Good stuff. See, I don't want Archer versus Cage because those keep them heel. Both of them are heels. Keep them heel. Absolutely. I like Chris Stratlander. I like Chris Stratlander. I didn't say her name because she's injured. So, yeah, for sure. What we got? Michael's asking, AEW is going to do a version of Four Horsemen FTR page, and it looks like Spears, but I believe Spears isn't the right fit. Cody should be number four. Your thoughts, please. Okay, yes, this is a good question, Michael. So, Paige should not be a part of that. I heard Cody might be a part of it since Arn's with Cody. So, Cody turning heel, nah, no need. I mean, if you're gonna make Omega heel, yeah, no need to turn Cody. No, don't make Paige. Paige should be a standalone. I mean, I'm cool with this team with Omega for now, but Paige should be his own guy. Like he should be a babyface top star for sure. I wouldn't put him on. If they do another Horseman thing, we've had so many. Evolution was the best spinoff of the Horseman, period. The best spinoff of the Horseman. Fortune was a huge bust. I mean, a lot of iterations of the Four Horsemen was a huge bust. So, I mean, talk about spinoffs. There was a bunch of iterations of the Four Horsemen that was a bust, a huge bust. But Evolution, as far as Horsemen spinoffs, Evolution was definitely the best. So the only thing is, it's like, I really hope it doesn't have a Fortune style bust to me. I really hope that's the case. So, if you do it, I don't have FTR in it either. I know that's the Anderson Blanchard type of feel to it. There's no, if I'm looking at FTR, Page and Spears, none of them have that larger than life standout main event, type of pedigree, not even really pedigree, but just kind of aura to them. Flair was the standalone, was the standout main event guy. Like the Four Horsemen was Flair, the main eventer. You had Arn and Tully as the tag, and then you had revolving door of whoever. You had Luger, you had Wyndham, you had Sid, you had you had Ole and Arn was the tag, and then Tully was like the mid-card singles for a while, and then you had Tully and Arn as the tag, and then you had like the Wyndhams, the Sids, the Lugers as the upper mid-card role. But Flair was the guy. Flair was the main event guy. So with Evolution, it was similar to the same way. Like Triple H was the guy. That's why I like the Inner Circle. I like the Inner Circle. I'm almost tempted to put in Eddie Kingston in there as managing Ortiz and Santana Ortiz. So yeah, I mean, yeah, I like the fact that it should. That's how it should be. It should be like a stable type of person. Like you have someone standing out, especially a heel, and you have people kind of protecting him. And so like Santana Ortiz has the tag feel to it. Hager has the mid-card feel to it. So yeah, that's how it should be. That's what makes factions really stick. NWO just had a bunch of main eventers. It was just, like the original NWO, Hogan was the guy, Hall and Nash was tagged. And then you just had so many main eventers. It was a faction, but it wasn't necessarily a stable because it wasn't really surrounded around someone. Yes, it was around Hogan for a while, but at the same time, you had so many other main eventers on there. It just got real convoluted for sure. My doctorate is in forensic psychology. Thank you for asking. All right, what else I got, PNP Nation? We're going to start on the headlines here soon. It's hashtag headlines. Any Ask Chris questions before we jump into that? Cody as the fourth would be great. They could push having the boss in the group. Great heel move. Yeah, yeah. If they do it, I'm cool with Cody being in there. Not Paige, but. Definitely more so Cody, because it's not necessary for Cody to be a top guy. You know, it's AEW's partly his company. So as far as, you know, an executive role, so he doesn't need to be at the forefront. I think him in that horseman style, you know, faction would be good. I'd be fine with that. Great conversation here, PMP Nation. Good stuff. Real good stuff. Do I think Chavo should return to help out Dominic? Huh. Interesting question, Elvis. I'm all in for a Chavo appearance. That's for sure. Definitely. It looks like Aleister Black's the guy. So, I mean, I guess it would make sense. I'd imagine if they did a Chavo thing, but they won't put Chavo over though. Unfortunately, they'd probably do it just for Seth to beat him up. Unfortunately. What else we got? Y'all giving each other's ages out here. Nice. Okay, good question, Justin. Which golden role model turns on the other? I'll get to that a lot. So, I think Bayley is finally getting to the point of doing her heel, of really feeling comfortable in her heel role and doing a good job. I just like Bayley as a face though, man. I probably because of the haircut. The haircut is just, you gotta ditch the haircut. I can't stand the haircut. I think it would make Bayley a stronger baby face since she had this heel run now. So I would keep Sasha heel. I would have Bayley be the baby face. So Sasha said that, you know, for all this time I was, you know, cheering you on while you were winning the SmackDown Championship, you never gave me an opportunity. You know, it's ready made. I think if one of them turned, I would prefer Bayley to be the baby face. I was thinking about this actually, Chad. I think of Sammy Guevara being brought back so soon from suspension. Now, He's been gone for a while, though. So, I mean, hasn't seemed like it, but he's been gone for a while. So I think it hasn't been too much. It wasn't like a long time. It wasn't like a short time to me, like a super short time that he was gone. So, yeah, it hasn't been like a crazy short time. So I'm cool with it. I mean, I'd imagine, you know, they made their peace, you know what I mean? So made his peace and, you know, he was suspended. I heard it was without pay. So I'm sure that he learned his lesson. So bring him back. All right. So we're going to do the headlines. We're going to do hashtag headlines and whatever's going on. I will let you pick the headlines, hashtag headlines, and then we will discuss. Then we'll grade Raw and SmackDown real quick. And then we will do Flavor of the Week. I see a couple of asks, Chris, some good ones. Shane's asking, I know you have said Keith Lee deserves to be in the conversation for main event status. WWE make a fool off Keith Lee if he goes to Raw or SmackDown. That's what WWE does to Big Man. He would go up there and start dancing. Watch. I think there's an aura about Keith Lee, though, that just they'll respect. I think they'll respect him. So I'm more optimistic toward how they're going to use Keith Lee. I think it should be Keith and Brock at the main event of WrestleMania. So I'm set on that for sure. There's another Express question that was pretty good. Mike is asking, most uplifting family moment over the past week. I mean, every day, every day. I'm about to become a doctor for my family. So finding out that my oral presentation is on Friday and it's the last journey of my PhD journey, my doctorate journey. You know, I'm doing this for my family. So that is the most uplifting. But I mean, my dad in a video with my 2-year-old daughter. Yeah, it was hilarious. It was it's like, have you accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior? She's like, yes, and it was so funny. It was hilarious. I love it. And just, I mean, my family is awesome. I mean, like, it's awesome. Like, my family's awesome. Like, every single day I come in from anywhere, and I have 3 kids, 7, 5, and 2. And they, I kid you not, they swarm to me. They like, and it's amazing to me. I'm so blessed. I really am. Like they'll be like, Daddy, like I'm just a pop culture icon, man. And I'm like, you know what? I'm blessed. I'm doing something right. Obviously, every time I come in the house, I kid you not, every time I come in the house, whatever they're doing, they can be upstairs, they can be eating. They'll stop what they're doing and they'll run to the door and be like, Daddy. And they'll all hug me. And then after the words, they'll be like, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. Like they'll cheer me. And it's like, I don't deserve this. You know what I mean? Like it's a blessing. It really is a blessing. So thanks for asking. Yeah, thanks for asking. Yep, Lee stands out. Stay in NXT, Mo, for a while. Stay in NXT. Sasha versus Stephanie McMahon. I'm not interested. It could. I mean, they've teased Sasha and Stephanie for a couple of times, but I'll pass on that. Hard pass. Adam Cole, baby, and Undisputed Era. See, I've said this for a while. I say they should turn Adam Cole face and have the Undisputed Era turn on him. You haven't done a good job. You're going off your rockers. You lost. You know, you've the insurance is gone. You know, you could do a bunch of stuff. I would have the Undisputed Era turn on Adam Cole. Now, if you now the Undisputed Era has the theme of being former ROH guys. All right, so all four of them are former ROH guys, and kind of have the same build in a sense. That's why I like UE actually. So there's someone out there. I'm trying to think of someone who fits that criteria who is competing currently for NXT right now. I can't think of anybody because you have Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, Roderick Strong. See, that's when I think you should have put Mike Bennett in there. Like, I think Mike Bennett would have been a good replacement. I think I've said this before, actually. I think Mike Bennett would have been a good replacement for Adam Cole in Undisputed Era. And what you should have done, what you should do, still, there's still hope, there's still possibility, is you have Undisputed Era turn on Adam Cole, baby, and you have Mike Bennett be the new leader of the Undisputed Era. He is a former he's a former ROH guy that still has that similar build. So, yep. Mike agrees with that. Yep. Greatest superstar never to have been WWE champ. Hennig, Arn, those are the two. Jake. Yeah, WWE, so Arn would be WCW. But if I had to choose one, then WWE would be Jake. Yeah, for sure. Looks like the Universal Championship, which I love it. Good stuff. All right, good stuff, y'all. We're about to get to the headlines. No need. Piper's a good one, Mike, for sure. Ultimate Warrior's been WWE champ. Come on, WrestleMania 6, Toronto. WWE champ, man. Absolutely. I mean, there's no point of bringing Balor to the main roster, for sure. That's what I said. I said there's still hope. That's my point. Like, you can still bring him back. It's because he was released. They re-signed Drake Maverick. It's possible. You know what? And this is probably where it goes. And you can bring Mike Bennett back and he'd be the lead of the Undisputed Era. You have Cole, turn on Cole, and then you got a way to write him off. Yeah, you do it now. I do it for you. All right, here's a Royal Rumble. We're gonna do SummerSlam trivia too. We only got time for a couple of questions, maybe. The Rock retained the WWE Championship against Triple H and blank. So it was a triple threat. The Rock retained the WWE Championship against Triple H and blank at SummerSlam 2000. The Rock retained the WWE Championship against Triple H and blank at SummerSlam 2000. I haven't checked. I need to check my email. Sorry, guys. I get too many emails alerts. I have a university email and I have my personal email alerts. So I don't check the Crave Wrestling with that much, but I should. So like I said, I will be playing weekly videos, store these videos up, send a 30-second promo of how much you love PNP at cravewrestling@gmail.com. And I will play it. I will give you a shout out and play it live during the show. This show reaches a lot, thousands and thousands of viewers every week. So 4 to 7 typically, thousand. There's been plenty of times recently has actually been more than that, but around the 4 to 7 range of how much we reach every week. It's been more of the 6 to 7 a lot, but yeah, we PMP reaches a lot, so I'm blessed for that for sure. All right, so Rock Retains, I'm sure there's some right answers. Yep, good job. Yeah, do it now. I'll do it for you. Angle, that's correct. Correct, Mike. Correct, Mo. Aaron, good job. Good job, Mo. Yep. All right, let's do another trivia. Who did The Undertaker defeat at SummerSlam 2002? Who did The Undertaker defeat at SummerSlam 2002? Dos. All right, so I'm going to jump into these headlines, y'all. You ready? So get your headlines together. Hashtag headlines. We'll talk about them. So let's do this. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, you know what time it is. Headlines, here we go. Okay. Yeah, let's get these headlines together. Again, hashtag headlines. And I will address them. Yes. I will address them. Headlines. Hashtag headlines. what else you got? Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you coming through, man. Hashtag headlines. Let's do this for a bit. And then we're going to wrap it up with the SummerSlam main events. I saw a headline on here. Here we go. Oh, yeah. That's a good one, Lonzo. Yes, I did see the Adam Cole McAfee video. I thought it was a 100% work. I mean, like 100% work. I mean, there's no way that WWE will allow that to happen. David Schultz, there was a dark side about him. I think WWE is doing their best to steer clear from any type of rioting like that. And I think it was Vader who messed up a reporter too. I think it was Orton that did it too overseas a while ago. So yeah, I mean, steering clear from that stuff. I think it was a 100% shoot, 100% work, 100% work. Yeah, so I guess we'll talk about the bar fight here in the Raw and SmackDown. Give me your Raw and SmackDown grades. I liked the bar fight, actually. I think it was good. It was another cinematic match, which they should have more of. It was good. I liked it. It was good. Again, I keep saying that I think strongly that they should do Jeff Hardy versus The Fiend at Mania. I think it makes perfect sense for them to do a storyline. Jeff Hardy versus The Fiend. Jeff Hardy gets a redemption. Now, here's the thing. I'm saying that it should be for the Universal Championship, but it doesn't have to. I want Big E to win the Universal Championship. If they are giving him a push, give him a push. I want him to win the whole thing. So if Hardy versus The Fiend, if it's non-title, I'm fine with that too. They can make it a really good storyline. I want to see Jeff Hardy versus The Fiend at WrestleMania. Fiend could be, you know, it's personal demons, and they can do all types of stuff. They can really make this really, really good between Jeff Hardy and The Fiend. He overcomes his demons. He overcomes the alcohol addiction. They can really make something really big out of it. So Raw actually was much watchable, much more watchable than it was, than it has been. So, I mean, Raw was actually okay to me. I give it like a B minus, SmackDown, a B. Yeah. So I was SmackDown a B, Raw B minus. Yeah, for sure. 100%, man. Totally cool with that. Nick Aldis and Bruce. What's going on with all this? Yeah, so I haven't heard the skinny. Oh yeah, yeah. So they're going back and forth on Twitter, right? Yeah, so he says, your ignorant comments about me. So Pritchard lacked the it factor during his time as Magnus, which I don't agree. I think he definitely had an it factor in Magnus. Aldis says, your ignorant comments about me had me at an all-time low, kind of like your Raw ratings. However, there are a few Hall of Famers that seem to have a different opinion, some of which are in feature below. So that was Busted Open. He was on the Busted Open Monday. Yeah, I think it was Monday. Yeah. So, and then Busted Open has something on her Twitter. I think he's a star, man. I mean, I think he was one of the biggest things that helped revive NWA to be in a particular spot that it was, as far as being a household company again. So, yeah, I mean, yeah. I like Bruce. I've interviewed Bruce before, but got to disagree with Bruce on that one for sure. So, yeah, I agree. Yep, I think ultimately I agree with that. And I was thinking about that during the bar fight. I was thinking about that too. Yeah, I was thinking about that too. I was like, you know what? Yeah, it's not. And then here's the thing. Like, I'm okay with them doing a cinematic match with him not being around, you know, the alcohol part, and they just kind of doing around it. But there were times where he was slid across the, you know, the island area, the bar area. And I mean, there were alcohol on him. So I'm like, not a fan. That's not really good. SmackDown B plus, Raw C plus, Elvis Antoine, and Mo thought that Raw was a D. Is that right? What made Raw a D? I actually thought it was pretty solid. SmackDown C, Raw so far B. I have 1 hour left to watch the Molly Murphy match. Okay, cool. Just okay to Marissa for both. Good headlines. Kari Sane leaving. She wants to spend time with her hubby. I'm an advocate of that. I'm cool for sure. You know what? Here's the crazy part. I think that if you even put Samoa Joe in the ring, he'll just be winning a few matches and then jobbing out to somebody. So I'm actually fine with him being in that spot. That he's a really good color guy. He's a really good color commentator. It's really a hidden gem. It's kind of like you discovered a gold mine, man. He's really good. If he makes the same, you know, I wouldn't cut his pay or anything like that. Give him the same salary. And it's a win-win for Samoa Joe. If they haven't cut his pay, if they're still giving him a big salary as a talent, and he literally doesn't have to step in the ring and risk injury, and he's had several injuries in WWE. He's at the announcer's booth. He doesn't have to risk injury, and he gets paid the same. Perfect. That's perfect. I'm sure he's pretty happy about that. I mean, of course, you have that itch of wanting to go back in the ring, but he's in a much better spot. Yeah, Regis Philbin passing away. Yeah, 88 years old. 88 years old. I dream to live in 88 and still like being super active, like in his, you know, he was hosting Millionaire in his 60s, you know, so good stuff, man. 70s even really. So yeah, being active, still being very active at that age. Good stuff. I interviewed Eric Bischoff today. Yep. All right. Who's UPR, Ricky? I don't know who UPR. Can you? Yep, I like wrestling. Get a shout out. Who's UPR? All right, headlines. Cool. All right, so we got headlines and Raw and SmackDown ratings. All in one. So that was perfect. All right. So flavor of the week, just let me know who you thought the worst, who you thought the worst SummerSlam match of all time was. So let's do this without further ado. Flavor of the week. Here we go.
It is now time for the flavor of the week.
All right. Who was the worst SummerSlam match? What was the worst SummerSlam match of all time? The worst SummerSlam match of all time. Main event match, actually. Main event match. Or SummerSlam main event match of all time. Got a few more minutes. Worst SummerSlam main event match of all time. Who y'all got? Who y'all get? Oh, y'all got. Oh, okay, cool. Unpopular review. Okay, yeah, cool. Good stuff. What y'all got? Worst SummerSlam main event of all time. What y'all got? Main event, though. Main event. Okay, cool. Sounds good. Cool. All right, UPR, good stuff. Cool. Shoot me a link to your stuff. Message me a link to your stuff. Wait. Cena versus Daniel Bryan was the worst? No way. That was actually one of my favorites. I really liked that match, and I'm not a Cena fan. I'm not a Cena fan at all, but I actually really liked that match because that was the same match that Orton and Triple H turned. Orton cashing the Money Bank contract. That was really good. Brock versus Cena at SummerSlam. Yeah, I think that was pretty bad because Cena got decimated. Yeah, that was pretty bad. I don't know about the worst of all time, but not quite sure about that. But that was indeed a bad one for sure. What y'all got? SummerSlam. Y'all looking up matches? What's the ones that y'all remember? What's this? Oh, this is a good one. Yes, Yes, maybe worse is Diesel. Yeah, I agree with that. That was pretty bad. Yes, indeed. Good one. Good one, Elvis. Good one, Elvis. Cool. So did I stump y'all? What? Ah, that's funny. Michaels versus Vader, that wasn't a bad match. That was actually a pretty good match. that's funny. Thank you, Chris. Not a Cena fan. You just became my favorite person. Yeah, I haven't been a Cena fan, and I didn't like him in the beginning. I think what got me is he beat Jericho at Vengeance 2002, and I'm a Jericho guy. And when he beat Jericho at Vengeance 2002, I was like, oh. I'm not buying into this. I'm not buying into this guy. And then I started liking him again. Like for a little bit, maybe like around the 03 era, 04, 03 era, around there. But like around like 06, nope. Like I haven't liked them. I haven't been a Cena fan since. I actually was like super non Cena, like super non Cena. And then now I'm more indifferent towards Cena. Like I was like super anti Cena for a long time, but now I'm just kind of indifferent. You know what I mean? Like he has his spots. I actually think it was a good idea that he came and put Bray over. I was totally fine with that. So now I'm more indifferent than like not liking them. No, I'm surprised. I really liked this match. This was the cage match. This was good. This was great too. That was for the world title. That, dude, what are you talking about? You're picking some of my favorites, actually. Although I'm not happy that Rock won, but that was actually a very solid match. I would agree on this. And they're still, you know, people on interviews still say John Cena should have put him over. There's a lot of people who's been in that match and have commented on it, said that it was a bad call by having WWE win. Cena should have put Nexus over. Although I wanted WWE to win, but it makes very sense. It makes sense to put Nexus over. Cool. Taker versus Brett. I thought that was great. What do you guys do? What are you guys talking about? You guys are picking some good ones. Hogan versus, what's up, Brian? Hogan versus Shawn. I like it for what it's became. Like that's what it has become. I like it because of why Sean was overselling. I think that was pretty funny. Yes, absolutely. So okay, now we're back in good graces. Yoko versus Luger was bad. And I think that the biggest thing of the reason why Yoko versus Luger was bad, because I really wanted Luger to win and they did the DQ finish. I mean, that was terrible. Absolutely terrible. Yeah, I think you're back in my good graces, Mo. That was a very bad main event for sure. Absolutely. See, I guess you're not back in my good graces very long. I get it though. I get it though, Mo. A lot of people didn't like Taker versus Taker. I loved it. I mean, again, characters, aura, presence, I loved it. I was a kid at that time, and as a teenager, I was like, look, I loved it. I loved it. It was great. I loved the intrigue. I was not happy that Taker, you know, Royal Rumble got buried, rose up. Then you had the fake Taker. I was like longing to see the Undertaker come back. Then you had the fake Taker. And I was like, this is a fraud, you know? And So it wasn't, the match wasn't very good, of course, but the main event to me was good as far as the build. I was a big build. I'm a big build guy for sure. Ricky, I have been watching wrestling since the mid 80s when I was a kid, when I was a little kid. I'd say probably 86, 85, 86. I remember the Horsemen vividly. I remember like the dawning of the Horsemen. I remember SummerSlam. I remember watching the first SummerSlam over my aunt's house, first or second one. That was real time. That was around 87. I remember the Horsemen forming. It was probably around 80, I'd say 85, 86 is when I start watching wrestling. That's when I remember watching. My late grandma, she's the one who got me into wrestling. And she watched wrestling way before I was born. So I remember, like, I watched wrestling since I was a kid. Like, technically, I watched wrestling since the early 80s. So, but I remember, like, as far as stuff that I remember, I would say I remember the Midnight Rider angle. I remember that real time because I loved Dusty. And I remember as a kid, like, that's Dusty Rhodes, but he's a bad guy. So I was, like, not happy about that. And so... yeah, I remember that. Midnight Rider was around 88, I think. I think that was 88. Yeah, that was 88. I remember that. And I was watching wrestling at least a year before that, maybe even two, because I remember Dusty. So I would say probably 80. If I would land on a year, I would probably say 86. But I think it was before that, though, but maybe 86. I'm almost positive 85, but almost 86. Evan is my boy. He's working OT tonight. So he will be back with us. All right, y'all. Out of here. That's a good one, Dion. Yeah. That handicap match was a bust to me. I agree. But so far out of all the other ones, I think the Luger Yoko was, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah, I did see. And that's the thing. I remember Magnum vividly. I remember Nikita Koloff and my uncle Ivan. I remember all of that real time. I remember all of it real time. All of it. So yeah, I would say probably 85, 86. I don't think this was very good. I as a kid back in the day, it was good, but now I was like, yeah. All right, y'all. I'm out of here. It's been a really good conversation. Thank y'all. Keep me in prayer. I've got to defend my dissertation this coming Friday. I'm excited. By this time next week, I will be done with my dissertation, done with my doctoral process, and just simply waiting for me to receive the email that I'm a doctor. So, wow. This Chris Prolific here. Follow me there, but I'm going to change this when I become a doctor. I'm just going to be Dr. Chris right here, right now, right here. It's going to change. It's going to become Dr. Chris. So, all right, y'all. It's been fun. Until next week, enjoy your week of wrestling. God bless. And always remember, I do it for you. Have a good night, everybody. Bye-bye.